Hi, everybody. I'm Chef Marcus Samuelson, author of Yes Chef. You listen to Food Fridays on The Leonard Lopez Show.
Queens may be the most ethnically diverse area in the world, with residents hailing from over 100 different countries and speaking 138 different languages. And with that comes a wealth of diverse foods and restaurants. Tom Liddy joins us now to talk about the best that the borough has to offer. He's the Queens News Editor for DNAinfo.com, and he writes the Queens Eats and Make This Tonight columns for the site. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Brooklyn has become the borough everybody talks about when the subject of hot restaurants comes up. Should they be mentioning Queens as well?
Well, Queens has always had a very diverse culinary background and a wealth of restaurants across a variety of cuisines. And in recent years, there's been an explosion of newer places. There really is a very growing sort of food scene.
But it's different. It's mostly ethnic food as opposed to the young celebrity chef.
Well, there are restaurants that you would consider along a variety of ethnic cuisines, but you also have a number of more high-end restaurants that are coming into the borough. Steakhouses featuring high-end cuts and expensive bottles of wine. You also have a number of wine bars that are coming into Forest Hills. It really is an exciting time for food in Queens.
It's the largest borough, so it's impossible to take it all in at once. Is there a good starting place for people who aren't familiar with it?
I would say Story in Long Island City is a very good place to start. There's a variety of restaurants. There are always new spots that are opening up. You have a steakhouse, S Prime, that just opened in Long Island City last summer. It's been frequented by a couple of celebs, Usher and Victor Cruz. It has a variety of steaks that have been dry aged, and it uses a special technique, which is this wall of Himalayan rock salt that kind of pulls some of the moisture out of the meat and also tenderizes it and flavors it as well.
Long Island City is the closest to Brooklyn, so to some degree you almost feel like you're getting the spillover from Williamsburg and Greenpoint in an area that for a long time was pretty much just an industrial area.
Well, that's true. I mean, Long Island City and Astoria, to a certain extent, they have benefited from the explosion of prices in Manhattan. People have moved over there. They're beautiful old loft buildings that have been converted into housing.
Astoria has historically had a large Greek population. Does it still?
It does have a Greek population, and there are a number of Greek restaurants. In our Queens Eats section at DNA Info, we highlighted a bunch of feta cheese bars and groceries that sell a variety of feta cheeses. But there also, interestingly enough, in the past couple of months, has been a sort of revival of Greek restaurants in the area. We have a celebrity chef, Michael Salakis, who is about to open MP Taverna. It's kind of a high end place, and we also have another Greek taverna that's going in there as well.
And there are some Egyptian restaurants in the area too. Is that because the Egyptian cuisine shares ingredients with Greek food?
Well, I mean, it's all part of the Mediterranean sort of subculture and food. There is a little Egypt in the area. They have a number of grocery stores as well that sell ethnic spices that can be used in that cuisine.
Probably most people, when they think of Queens and ethnic food, they think of Flushing.
Yeah.
Because the Chinatown now is ranked higher than the Chinatown in downtown Manhattan.
Well, Flushing is a very, very vibrant area. It has a number of people, as a huge restaurant scene, and that kind of ranges, the gamut. One of the restaurants that we highlighted in the Queens Eats series at DNA Info is Bang Noodles. It's on Main Street and 41st Street. What it's named after are these hand-drawn noodles and the sound that they make when the chefs bang them against the table. They're served with a variety of things and soups. They serve a cumin lamb variety that we're told is very tasty. And
what region of China?
I'm not 1,000% sure, but it's the cuisine in China. The cuisine in Flushing does kind of range the gamut from.
And other Asian cuisines as well. You see Korean restaurants there, some Vietnamese restaurants.
And Taiwanese as well.
And I guess the number 7 train, and is the train that you take to get most of the food in Queens?
Yeah, the 7 train can basically take you on a culinary tour of the countries around the world. You know, you can start, in Woodside, where there is there's a Turkish grill. I mean, most people associate Woodside and Sunnyside historically with as being an Irish neighborhood, but there are many other cuisines and many other countries that are represented in there.
Well, it also has a large Filipino population.
Yes.
A little Manila, doesn't it?
Yes. There is a restaurant that we featured in the series, Crystal's Cafe. It's on Roosevelt Avenue. $8, you can get an all-you-can-eat buffet, including fried pork spring rolls. So there really is a wealth of diversity, even in a small neighborhood like that.
And Jackson Heights is famous for its Indian restaurants.
Correct.
Can you talk about some of the restaurants there?
Well, I can talk about a number of things with Jackson Heights. You have, of course, the Jackson Diner, which is a very famous all-you-can-eat buffet. They have all-you-can-eat buffet, and then they have a regular menu as well. Standards like chicken tikka masala and saag paneer. Just a delicious standby for many, many years. You also have in Jackson Heights the ability to buy Indian spices and special Indian ingredients at the Patel Brothers. There's a place where you at a certain times of year in the spring, you can buy Indian mangoes, which are very desired and also very hard to find.
And then there are now Nepali and Tibetan restaurants opening there as well. I guess it's in all cases, we should point out that along with the restaurants, there are all these specialty stores. So if you wanted to have the ingredients of Himalayan cookings, whatever cuisine, you would want to go to Jackson Heights. If you wanted to have some really good Chinese ingredients, you might want to go to Flushing, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you have sort of ethnic ingredients in places that you wouldn't expect. For instance, you have you can buy Brazilian ingredients in Little Brazil in Astoria, which is on 36th Avenue, the Rio Market. They sell the specific palm oil that's used in a lot of the dishes that gives it, gives moqueca and other dishes like that the flavor that only that ingredient could give it.
Are there any ethnic communities that you feel don't get enough press? Food that you said, wow, this is really fabulous, and people don't know much about it.
I would say that especially in Queens, pretty much all the cuisines get a fair shrift. There's everything from the traditional, traditional pizza to more, to things like Nepali and Himalayan in Jackson Heights. I think it all kind of gets a fair shake, and that's because of the borough's diversity.
Do you think that we're seeing a transition here? Queens always had a reputation for a more family style approach to food than the rest of the city. Maybe Staten Island to some degree as well. Are we starting to see the more usual, as you suggested earlier, Manhattan, Brooklyn-style restaurants?
Well, I think that there is a mix. I think that, in Astoria and Long Island City, to a certain extent in Forest Hills, the restaurants that are, kind of considered more of a Manhattan dining experience, like I mentioned, S Prime, there is a very sort of fancy Italian restaurant in Astoria, Trattoria L'Incontro. They do have more of kind of a Manhattan style to them, and they have been drawing Manhattan clientele and also celebrity clientele as well.
There's also Bukharan food. There are all sorts of things that people might not be totally aware of. But with these kinds of changes, gentrification also becomes a part of what's happening. Is there resistance to the gentrification?
I think as far as gentrification goes, it's one of the cycles. It's kind of the New York story that has been going on for years and years and years. It's not unique to Queens, and it's actually it's something that kind of there's changes in neighborhoods that kind of occur constantly, and all that means is that new people are coming in, and they bring their experiences and their tastes with them.
Paul from Manhattan says you can get kimchi pizza in Flushing. Do you find a lot of cross-cultural foods in the borough?
Yes, I think there are. I think there's an emphasis on fusion in some places, and that's just because of the kind of celebration of a variety of cultures. Yep.
A listener wonders if you can recommend any good Japanese food in Astoria or Long Island City.
Nothing comes to mind off the top of my head. There is a sushi place in Bayside that I can get that listener the information. It's a sushi buffet, and I can get the listener that information.
I guess Japanese food hasn't made the same kind of inroads in Queens as it has in other boroughs. You also write a column called Make This Tonight, so you find recipes from these restaurants and then put them on your blog?
Well, Make This Tonight started out as a way to kind of – I've always been interested in food. And Make This Tonight started out as a way to kind of showcase the recipes that I come up with myself. Greek nachos was – you know, the recipes that I gave to WMIC for the segment – to me, represent a little bit of a fusion between the ethnic cuisines of Queens. You know, Greek nachos. You have, you have Greek food. You have feta, olives. Tomatoes. A kind of tomato and olive salsa, and feta cheese on top as well. On top of pita chips.
And then you gave us another recipe for sriracha buffalo chicken sliders with Sprite pickles.
Yes, I was thinking around Super Bowl time. What is a great way to do pickles? And kind of the normal way is to do it with vinegar, salt, and sugar. I thought Sprite might be an interesting background because it does have that lemon and lime flavor. It's got that sweetness. You balance it out with some salt and some hot pepper, and it really works.
And we have a few of these recipes on our show page at WNYC.org. Tom, thank you so much for coming by to talk about Queens, which is the borough that gets, I guess, underreported when we talk about great food, but there's a lot of great food there. Tom's with DNAinfo.com. He is the Queens Eats editor. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me on.